Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, Tuesday morning, if for the listeners, and if you didn't listen, well, just tell you because you can go back at the computer and listen. We talked about Solvang, California. And on the way home, I got to thinking about, well, I wonder what we know about, tell people about Elkhorn. And the best person to talk about Elkhorn I can think of is Lisa Riggs. So good morning to you, Lisa.
Good morning.
Lisa, you know, I think as local folks, we kind of take Elkhorn for granted. And, you know, we think about Yule Fest, special occasions. But you're there all year long, and we need to know more than we can go to Yule Fest.
Yes, we are a year-round destination. You know, the Danish villages of Elkhorn and Kimmelton, and several of our businesses are, again, open every day of the year except for the holidays. So we're glad you gave us a call.
Yeah, and of course, right now you are still in the mood of Yule Fest. Some of those special events are, you know, over because you can't do that every single day. But the spirit is still there. The stores are still there. The decorations are still there.
Right. It's a fun time of year to come on up to Elkhorn. And, you know, we're just 6 miles off Interstate 80. You know, it's exit 54 and just 12 miles north of Atlantic. It's a good location. We're on a nice highway. And right when you come into Elkhorn, the first thing you see is this historic Danish windmill. And, again, you know, we're open daily. We are all decorated up. A fun time to come is in the evening, even though the windmill's closed, just to see the Christmas lights on the windmill.
Just drive through and see. Now, Lisa, how many, and you may not know the answer to this, and that's okay, but how many places are there? How many windmills have been taken down from Denmark and rebuilt in the United States?
None.
Other than yours.
We're the only Danish immigrant building as far as a windmill that was torn down in Denmark. Once it did leave the country, all the thousands of rotten pieces, Denmark kind of like, oh my, maybe we shouldn't have let it go. So they did pass a law that more mills could leave the country of Denmark. And we do have, kind of, I call it a sister windmill. It's Dutch and we're Danish, but in Holland, Michigan, they had a windmill that is kind of the same story as ours, except the city owns it. It's a city facility where we're a museum.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this happened 40 years ago that the mill was actually torn down, and actually a year ago in November that it started the long journey to America.
Mm.
I like to compare it to the immigrant stories because it actually was quite the trip. Once it came into Elkhorn, I believe it was February of 1976, it came in on a flatbed, and our local promoter, Warren Jacobson, told the truck, no, you got to go back out of town because we're waiting for the TV camera to watch it coming into town. And we only know that story is because the truck driver happened to come through 2 years ago and tell us this story.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, he had to come back and see what happened to all that lumber that we were told. You know, there was nothing left rotten in Denmark. It was here in Elkhorn.
Funny. Well, Lisa, there are some other special things. Of course, we all know that there's only one Museum of Danish America, and hopefully people know that around the world, actually. But there are some other things that are really special about the settling of Elkhorn. And when was Elkhorn started?
Well, actually, I think the first, it wasn't actually Danes that came into town first, but the actual first post office was in 1867, located right outside of town. I don't know if you're familiar with, we call it Elkhorn Creek Park or Elkhorn Grove. And then later, the town of Elkhorn, where we stand today, it actually was platted in 1901. We probably should have had a centennial back in 2001, but they didn't. And then the town actually was incorporated like in 1909 or 1910,
I think. And that's what the lady in California told me. And so I thought, oh, that, now I've got to check on that because I think Elkhorn's been around a little longer than that.
Well,
but she was right about incorporation.
Yeah, and it was kind of funny because, you know, we had the first Danish folk school in America, and that was in 1878. So, you know, we've been around a long time. Mm-hmm. Our Danish Mutual Insurance Company was 1886. So as far as getting all the government and the town business, we didn't have time for that. They were so busy starting places and getting established.
And the school was really important, as I understand, in terms of settling, of how do I want to say this, of really establishing the Danish culture, because it was a bit different than the schools that were in the United States.
Yeah, there was such there was 10 such schools in America, which Solvang started 10 years after
yes.
us. I don't know if you're Dannebrog, Nebraska, Tyler, Minnesota, Eskov, Minnesota. They all had these folk schools, and it was kind of these communities that needed to fill their educational or religious needs, and which was mostly the Lutheran Danish immigrants, and so this folk school was established, and I almost kind of compare it, I don't know if it's right, but almost your community colleges today, the people could go there to learn a trade. It also was their social places. They also learned gymnastics, religion. The farmers would go in the winter to learn English because most of the people spoke Danish. In fact, it was written somewhere where one of the men said that he didn't foresee a day that English would be spoken on the streets of Elkhorn.
Hmm.
So how times have changed. But these schools were, they served a need. Usually it was some kind of a minister that was ahead of it, the director. But the school itself was, I think it burnt down like 3 times and they rebuilt it. And it's where the retirement home is, or MV Transportation is today, is where this beautiful building had been. It later turned into a Lutheran seminary once the college itself went on to Blair, Nebraska, and then it turned into the nursing home, and with the changes and steps and stairs, they tore it down to build a retirement home. Mm.
So a lot of history on that ground, for sure.
Yeah.
And Lisa, you know, as I know you were talking about, it's a great location, and you do get people from all over the world visiting.
Yeah, usually by June of each year, we've had every state in the nation we've had visitors walk in our door, and the way we have, you know, guest book signatures. I think last year we had 45 different foreign countries that had come in our door, and of course our number one foreign traveler is from Denmark.
Sure.
And it's very interesting to see, and a lot of times they never even heard of us, and they've seen the billboards on the interstate, or it's people that said they've driven the interstate for years and seen those billboards, and we finally wanted to come off and see what all the hype was about. So, again, you know, we're just a small community of 650, and Kimmelton's like 350.
And I did, I looked up, Solvang is over 5,000, so it's not a big town, but of course, being on the warm climate, I think they draw a few more tourists than you, although the numbers you're saying, you know, I'm not sure, but and I'm not saying one is better than the other. They're each unique.
Well, and Solvang I think it's lovely. I haven't been there since I think it was 1980s, where it probably was more quaint and stuff, but Solvang actually had their ordinance that no building could be built without it being a Danish structure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you'll see it. They also have a windmill, but I'm sorry to say this, but I call it a fake windmill.
Yeah. It's not as big as the one, and as you say, it's not authentic in terms of really coming from Denmark.
And it wasn't built for actually grinding a grain, where it was a necessity in Denmark to have these windmills.
That's true.
And this really is the real thing from Denmark.
Yeah. So, Lisa, just one last little statement. You know, you're promoting Elkhorn now, and somebody says, why should I come to Elkhorn? What do you tell them?
You know, United States is made up of many different cultures. You know, many different ethnic groups, and we're just one of them, and we're one of the smaller groups. And it's kind of interesting to see how the Danes lived, and we are Danish Americans, and first we're Americans, and then yet, you know, our blood, and we're still like 46% of us have Danish blood in us. And it's a way of celebrating our heritage. And, you know, we took for granted that everybody in the world ate open-faced sandwiches. Well, here we catch on, you know, it's a big deal, and it's a Danish thing to have one piece of bread. It's just neat to see how different ethnic groups live, and we always encourage people to go up to Manning to see the German house barn. It makes Iowa interesting.
All right, very good. Well, we want to thank you very much, Lisa, for reminding us what a great place we have right here next door to Atlantic, next, you know, in Iowa, easy to get to. We want to thank you very much, Lisa, for just reminding us about that.
Thank you.
Until next time, here's a thought. The really great people make you feel that you too can become great.